Let's take our Bible tonight and go over to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 15. I'm going to read some out of Romans 15 and then back up and deal primarily with Romans 14 tonight. And I don't know if I'll end up starting a series or if this will be the only message that I preach on this. There's a lot more to go with this. But I want to start a message tonight on our duty to the weak. What is our duty to the weak tonight? Those that are weak in faith. That's what Romans 14 deals with. And so tonight let's look in Romans chapter 15. And I'm going to ask you to stand tonight while we read. Romans 15. And the Bible says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may be with one mind and one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God." You can be seated tonight. Lord, we certainly love you, and thank you for loving us, and thank you for giving yourself at Calvary that we might be saved. And Lord, it's in Jesus' name tonight that we pray and ask you to help us while we might stand to preach for just a little while. Lord, I pray that I would be very plain in my speech tonight. And Lord, as we leave here tonight, that we would have learned what you would want us to and take it and apply it to our hearts tonight. Not only let folk hear with their ears, but with their heart also. And Lord, see the importance of this message tonight. And Lord, I pray that we would preach it with fervor tonight, that we would understand our duty and that to the weak. And Lord, we certainly want to take you in it. We love you and thank you for the bloodshed for us at Calvary. Save somebody here tonight that might be lost and help those that need help. Touch us now, anoint us afresh, for this in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Before I get started tonight, the young man that was with Brother Marvin this morning that come with the West family, he goes home and his daddy asked him, said, "What'd you learn in church this morning?" And he said, "I learned that Moses hit a rock with a rod and water come out of it." And I said, "That's good. Amen." He was listening, and I appreciate that. Amen. I hope we all learned something this morning about that message. Amen. But Romans chapter 15, the Apostle Paul says, "Then we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. And let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification." Now, the word weak means having little physical strength. It means not to be able to bear great weight or to be low or feeble or have a feeble mind or something that is not well supported or unfortified. Now, I think we understand what that's talking about. I think we know what it means to be weak. And he says right here, then we that are strong, we should bear the infirmities of the weak. Now, as I preach tonight, I'm going to deal in that primarily with folk that are weak in the faith. If you go back to Romans chapter 14, that's what he starts with. But he is talking about the weakness of a believer. And let me say tonight that sometimes there are some believers or saved people that are weak in the faith. There's some people, we're not all on the same spiritual plane tonight. There's some people that have studied their Bible more. There's some people that's been saved. And let me say this tonight. Just because you've been saved a long time does not make you mature in the faith tonight. There's some people that's been saved for a short period of time, and they're more mature in the faith than some people that's been saved for a long time. It's all and that in studying your Bible and praying and seeking God. Well, there's some people tonight that are they're mentally weak, if you let me say that. They have faced far more than I have, and the devil has worked on them mentally. And I mean, he has, you know, he said, "Comfort them that are feeble and those that are feeble-minded. As you've heard me preach on that several times over the years, I don't think he's always referring to old people right there. You know, we think old people, and I don't see no old people in here tonight. Somebody ought to say amen. And, you know, old people, they tend to get feeble-minded. Sometimes they get forgetful or so on and so forth. I remember as I was at the nursing home preaching one time, I was sitting in the in Miss Nyla's office in there with her and Miss Diane, and I learned a great lesson this day. And I remember making a statement while I was in there. I said, I hope that I never have to come to a place like this. And I remember Nyla looked up from her desk and she said, "Do you think all these people wanted to come here?" And I ain't never forgot that. You know, we don't always get our druthers, do we? And so tonight there's some people that are weak physically, and whether it is physically, mentally, or spiritually, we that are strong should bear the infirmities of the weak. Now notice what he said right here. He said, "And not to please ourselves." Sometimes it's easier to do what we want to do and not help somebody. Right? Have you ever had to go help somebody because they called you, but yet you had something else to do? How many of us has ever went to, or somebody has called for help, or maybe the Lord has impressed on your heart to go visit with somebody, and you say, "Lord, I got all these things that needs to get accomplished, but yet He really wants you to go see somebody." There's one thing in going on visitation, but there is another when God impresses our heart to do those things. I do believe God impresses us from time to time to go do certain things. Let me say tonight that in looking at Romans 15, when it talks about that we ought to embody the infirmities of weak, and he said, "So let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification." And so our duty and our job tonight, if it would be to build up our neighbor. It would be to help those that need help, whether it is mentally or spiritually or physically. It is for us to do those things. Now take your Bible and go back one chapter to Romans 14. And I want you to keep in mind tonight that as I preach out of this chapter, I don't want you to go away from here and saying the preacher is preaching heresy or he is left. Well, the Bible says, because I'm not going to tonight, but we're going to look at some things tonight in Romans chapter 14. And as one of my preacher friends said one time, there is far more gray areas in the Bible than I care to admit. And what he deals with in chapter 14 is some things that people might believe that you might not believe. Now we're not talking doctrinally. Well, we're not talking doctrinally sound. That's not what I'm talking about. As a matter of fact, he deals with days and nights in Romans 14. That's what he deals with. Let's read it and then you'll see what I'm talking about. Romans 14, and I'm getting excited. Some of you are already getting excited over here now. Stay with me now. Romans 14, "Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or faileth, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's." Ain't that a wonderful thought tonight? Whether we're living or dying, if you're saved, you belong to God tonight. Amen. No matter whether you eat meat or not eat meat. It don't matter whether you keep certain days or don't keep certain days. You belong to the Lord tonight. Whether we live or die,
We belong to the Lord. And then he said, for to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived. There's the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. He both died and revived that he might be the Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? You know, Christ died for all, didn't he? And he saved all that come to him. Alright? Now, always keep that in mind. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account to himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably? Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. So tonight, if I could, I want to preach on the thought not only of our duty to the weak and the overall message, but learning how to have grace with each other. I think what the Apostle Paul was trying to teach the church at Rome right here is, as we look at this passage of Scripture, he deals in that with the reception of a brother who may not exactly believe some things like he or she should. You know, as he talks about right here, he said, one believeth that he may eat all things, and another who is weak, eateth herbs. Let me ask you tonight, do you believe that you can eat all meat? You don't have to raise your hand. There may be somebody pointing here tonight that do not want to eat meat. But you know, tonight there are people that really believe that in not eating certain kinds of meat, or not eating meat at all, would make them closer or keep them right with the Lord. Without getting ahead of myself tonight, Brother Roloff was one of those people. Hey, if you ever listen to Brother Roloff preach and teach, he was against bacon and sausage and pork, amen. And it wasn't a coffee table, but a carrot juice table. And he didn't think you ought to have anything that had caffeine in it. And I'm getting ahead of myself tonight. But I think that if you want to eat a little pork, as long as it's cooked good, you help yourself. Amen. I like sausage and bacon myself. But I want you to look right here. He says, him that is weak in the faith. So now he's talking about for those that are strong. And he said, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. He said, you take him in, you receive him. But he said, not to doubtful disputations. That word disputations is talking about disputing something. You remember what I said a few minutes ago? Not all of us are on the same plane spiritually. Would you agree tonight? Let me ask you this tonight. Would you agree that Jesus finalized and finished the law at Calvary? I mean, the book of Colossians tells us that he nailed it to his cross and took the handwritings out of the way. And I believe that he came, as he said in the book of Matthew, he came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. And I believe that when he came, he fulfilled all the law. Now look, what did he tell Peter over there when that neat sheet was let down out of the air? He told Peter to rise, kill and eat. And he said, Lord, I've never ate anything unclean. And I understand he was talking about the Gentiles out there, but he still told Peter to get up and go kill and eat. And God said, what I've made clean, don't you call unclean. And so we're dealing with diets and days, because he talks about, for one believeth that he may eat all things, and another who is weak eateth herbs. So he just eats green beans, corn, green peas. That's nasty, ain't it? I still hate green peas, man. What did he say over here? He said, one man esteemeth one day above another, and another esteemeth every day alike. So we're talking about days and diets, or dieting and days, ever how you want to look at it right here. And he says there's going to be some people like that. I thought about Brother Johnny Coleman when I was studying for this message. I'm looking across the... I don't know how many of us men was here that day when we... worked up the front yard. You remember when the county come through and smoothed all that down for us and we went out there and sowed it, and that was on a Saturday. And Brother John come over here, and I can remember him having his straw hat on, and he was broadcasting out in the yard. And I remember later on he said, "I told Joanna that you had me out here on the Sabbath day working." I think Johnny liked to observe the Sabbath. Now the Sabbath does fall on Saturday, which is the seventh day of the week. Do you know that we don't have to observe that? Jesus died so that we didn't have to do that. I do believe that the body needs a day of rest. I really believe that. And me and my wife, you know what? We observe the Lord's day almost like the Sabbath day. Now that has a lot to do with the way that we were raised and the way that we were trained. Yeah, I'll just be honest with you. It really does. But I do think the Lord's day is something special, by the way. I think the Bible teaches us that. But let me get on with it. He says, don't receive him or her and that to doubtful disputations. Just receive them. Don't dispute them. Sometimes people just got to learn some things, don't they? You know, you don't learn without teaching. Whether it is taught by the Sunday school teacher, whether it's taught by the preacher, or whether it is taught and that by the Holy Spirit of you taking and reading your Bible, you don't learn. But it's all going to come out of this book right here. He says in another place, I believe it is, let me see if I can find it, where he talks about, I believe it is, not to despise one another. And listen, that happens a lot of times. Because he says, but why dost thou judge thy brother, set thy brother at naught? You know, just set him to the side. Sit your brother at naught. You know, it's just nothing. He don't know nothing. You know, I heard a preacher say one time, I heard him say, he was talking about the old time preachers. He said, you know, we had foot washings and everything. I don't believe in foot washings. I don't believe that is the third ordinance of the Baptist church. But he said, they knew enough to get us saved. Now think about that for just a second. Now let that sink in for just a minute. What are we trying to do to get somebody saved? We got the truth. I mean, we understand the truth. I mean, we got a King James Bible in front of us. This is a Bible believing a fundamental, King James only, hellfire and damnation, Bible preaching church, and we've got the truth, and are we trying to get anybody saved? That's a good question, ain't it? But he's talking about receiving the brethren right here. He says that what? He says when we look at this, it is to the Lord that we stand or we don't stand. In verse 4, now again, listen to me. I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about some of that stuff. Just let me cut to the chase tonight where I think you all understand. And I'm getting way ahead of myself in this message tonight. But let me deal with this. What about a Christmas tree? Is it right or wrong to have a Christmas tree in your house? Now I'm going to let you think for just a second. Did you know that if you want a Christmas tree, I really believe it's okay if you want a Christmas tree. If you want to set it up in your house, you help yourself. And I'll go one step further than that. Me and my wife, we have one. It ain't up right now. It ain't Christmas time. But if you don't want to have a Christmas tree, don't have a Christmas tree. And you that don't want to have one, don't get upset with the people that do have one. And those that do have one, don't get upset with the people that don't have one. And leadership here at the church gets to make the decision whether we put one in the church house or not. What about drinking Coca-Colas? I've run into people that says I don't drink Cokes or sodas because, you know, I'm more spiritual. You know, I don't drink sodas either. Do you know that? I don't drink sodas. I had to quit a long time ago drinking. You know why? They make me sick. They literally make me sick at my stomach. If I have much more than that in any given day, I'll probably be sick before the day's over with. That's my life, she said. You know, if you want to drink a soda or two, as long as you ain't addicted to that thing, and just the same with coffee, as long as you're not addicted to that thing, help yourself. Now, if you're addicted to it, that's a whole different ball game. But you might need to talk to the Lord about something. Amen. What about eating pork? You think it's all right to eat pork? I know there's Old Testament doctrine about pork. I know there is. I know what the Old Testament says about it. I know what Brother Olaf preaches on too. You think it's all right to eat pork? I mean, some people's okay with it. You know, I don't eat shrimp. I don't. I personally do not eat shrimp, but that is simply because I had a friend of mine who had an allergic reaction to that thing just out of the blue, and now I'm afraid I might have an allergic reaction to it. If you want to eat shrimp, help yourself. If you don't want to, you know the Bible gives us that dietary law over there. You understand what I'm talking about now? Stuff that really don't matter, but people kind of make doctrine out of that stuff if we're not careful. We can kind of get a little irritated with each other if we're not careful. Let me go just a little bit further on this thing right here tonight. Well, what about taking the vaccine or not taking the vaccine? Everybody's got an opinion on that thing. I mean, people get upset if you don't take it, and people get upset if you do take it. You think there's a right answer or wrong answer? Now, our federal government will tell you there's a right answer. And I tell you that there's a right answer. But what I think, you know, I have a lot of opinions on things, but I try not to give you my opinion on all this stuff. What about a church having a fellowship hall? Now, I've got a buddy of mine that he pastors a church, and he told me when he was a young man, he said, the church that I went to, we built a fellowship hall. And he said, we had a family in our church that did not want us to build that fellowship hall. Didn't think church ought to have a fellowship hall. Didn't think you ought to eat at the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, eat at home. Ain't that what it says? See, they had scripture for it if you want to know the truth. 1 Corinthians 11 is talking about the Lord's Supper, though. And so he said they didn't get mad and leave the church, but said they would not have nothing to do with that fellowship hall. He said, as a matter of fact, we were going to have a men's meeting one night and said they were going to have the men's meeting in the fellowship hall, try to trick him to get him into the fellowship hall. And he bucked up on them and said, I ain't going in there. Now, who's right or who's wrong? Now, I think, if anything, if they knew how that gentleman felt and they were trying to trick him to get him into that fellowship hall, I think they were wrong. Now, if they done it out of pure accidentalness, said, we're just going to go down here and didn't think nothing about him, then there wasn't nothing wrong with that. And there was nothing wrong with him bucking up and saying, I'm not going in there. Why? He said, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. What about singing in the choir or not singing in the choir? What about shaking hands or not shaking hands? What about wearing masks or not wearing masks? This thing can just go on and on and on and on. If we'll give it its head, it'll just keep going and going. What about having a swing set at the church? I've got a pastor friend. They were going to put a swing set at the church. Somebody got upset about that thing. The kids might be out there playing on it in the middle of church time. That is some poor parenting. That's some poor pastoring. I mean, if you don't have no more faith in your pastor and in the parents of the church, ain't something wrong somewhere for you. But he said to do what? He said, let him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let him which eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. It is to the Lord or not to the Lord that we do these things. It's not to you that I would not eat meat or eat meat. It would be whether I would think God would be happy with me or not. You understand what I'm saying tonight? Like having a TV or not having a TV. Some people can have a TV and it not overtake their life and them not watch one wrong thing on it or learn how to turn it off when something bad does come on. Can I tell you tonight that we are all, if you're saved tonight, we are all the body of Christ. He said that we're to do what with the weak brethren? He said that we are to receive Him. He said He may have some different ideas. Well, not different ideas. But He may live a little different. As a matter of fact, it seems here that this one may think that not eating meat would make him closer to the Lord, or observing one day better than the other might make him closer to the Lord, but we understand that Jesus died for all that. I mean, for this end, Christ died, both died and rose and revived. We understand those things. He talks about in verse 4, he says, "Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand." Now, I really don't believe in the very fact. I've heard people say, well, what's sin for me may not be sin for you. What's sin for you may not be sin for me. No, I don't believe that. I believe sin is sin. What's wrong is wrong. But we ain't talking about wrong here. We're talking about some things that might be a little different. And like I say, I've got my own opinion about things. Take your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He said in verse 10, you go on to 1 Corinthians 12, I can turn to any. He said, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou not, or set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand for the judgment seat of Christ. See, he calls him brother. Your brother. Again, we're not talking about sin here. We're not talking about compromising sin or what's Bible doctrine. We're talking about something that somebody may not have learn some things about. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm in 1 Corinthians 15. We can't read there, can we? I mean, I guess I could. It just won't read what I need it to. Look in verse 12. He said, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, and so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." Church is made up of many, ain't it? Body of Christ is made up of many. If the foot shall say, "Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" And if the ear shall say, "Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were a hearing, where were the smelling? You know, we looked at that kind of this morning, talking about all the job, talking about Joshua and the people that went to fight. They had a position and something to perform. Moses, Aaron, and Hur was on top of the mountain up there, on top of the hill. They had jobs to perform, but it was all different. They all had to do different to get it done. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? Verse 17. If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? Instead of having a body, you'd have a great big ear.
I wonder how big ears scoot ground on the ground. Or have a big nose. That's all the body would be. If we were all smelling it, it'd just be a nose, wouldn't it? You know, that's why God don't make all preachers. That's why He makes some preachers, some teachers, evangelists. Make some people lay people. Let them serve in the church. Not everybody sings specials, but we all should all sing. But not everybody sings specials. But now are they many members, yet one body. Now I cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable upon these bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. That there should be no schism, talking about division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Whether somebody comes in here and says, I just don't eat meat. You know, for me to be right with the Lord, I just don't think I need to eat pork. Okay, that's good. We'll take them in. I'm okay with that. People don't want to eat pork. They want to be a vegetarian. They don't know what they're missing. More red meat for me. Amen. I'm all good with it. If they want to eat, hey, we'd probably all be healthier if we ate that way. I don't think there's no argument there. I mean, we learned that from Daniel, didn't we? Drank water and ate pulse, didn't he? Green beans, corn, stuff like that. And in 10 days, they had fair and fatter flesh than everybody else that was eating meat and drinking wine. So he said that we should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. And one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now are ye the body of Christ, the members in particular. Now let me say this. We may believe a little different on the gray areas or where there's some things. And I think there's a lot of principles in the Bible on some things. But we may still run into a gray area from time to time. But don't try to turn it into doctrine. That's where we fail at. We want to make everybody believe. We take one verse out of context and want everybody to believe like us, and then when they don't, we get mad and we leave. Well, I just don't think everybody ought to have a TV. Well, you can believe that. Help yourself. Well, not everybody going to listen. I got a preacher friend of mine who pastors a church, and he says, people get enamored with our church, and then they find out not all the women throw their britches away and didn't throw their TVs out in the yard. There's another good one. You think women ought to wear dresses when they're away from church? Oh boy, now we're getting somewhere, ain't we? Well, you've run into that lot out in the field, hadn't you, Brother Marvin? There you go. You get around independent Baptist, man, ain't no telling what you're going to run into. I mean, I've got my opinions on this stuff. But people won't turn it into church doctrine. And then the next thing you know, then we're fighting on it. Ain't we a mess sometimes? Flip your piece of paper back up there, Brother Jim. It fell over. We're just a mess sometimes. Take your Bible and go to Matthew 15. Look in verse 10. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. If you go back into the prior scriptures over here in verse 7, he calls them hypocrites. Now, in dealing with this thing and talking about the Pharisee, when you start tagging stuff, you know, I had a feller one time tell me this. I don't know if he really realized what he was saying when he said it, and you all have heard me make this statement before, but he honestly said this. He said, we will put more on you than the Bible says. And then he laughs about it. Now, that's hypocritical, if you don't know the truth, to a point. The Pharisees were good at making laws out of their tradition. And if we're not careful, the same thing happens as it does right here in Romans chapter 14. If we're not careful, we'll start making law, we'll start making commandment, we'll start making doctrine out of things that really ain't in the Bible. Now, I'm not forsaking the King James Bible. I'm not forsaking that. I'm just saying there's some things that sometimes people put on you that just really ain't the truth. If somebody comes in, it's not Brother Johnny. I'll go back to Brother Johnny. I never heard him say one time that you ought to observe the Sabbath to be right with the Lord. He didn't knock the doors down and say, preacher, you ain't right if you don't do this. That's how Brother Johnny felt. And if that's what Brother Johnny wanted to do, then, hey, that's up to him, man. That's up to him. That's fine. If that's what he felt like he needed to do to be right with the Lord, I'm not going to tell him. I'll tell him what the Bible says, but I'm not going to dispute it with him. I know what Christ has done for us. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. I believe this is where we need to be. Am I making sense to you tonight? Now, do you understand? Okay, I just want to make sure. Paul talks about it's okay. He said it's okay to eat meat. He said, I think Paul really understood that one day didn't matter over another day. Sabbath days didn't matter. New moons didn't matter anymore. None of that stuff mattered anymore. Christ had died for all that. He understood that. But look in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. He said, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge, and knowledge puffeth up, but charity edify. You remember what he said at the beginning of Romans 14? He said, receive ye, but not the doubtful disputations. He said, we all got knowledge, but knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Do you remember what we were supposed to do in Romans 15 and verse 2? It was for the edification. It was for the building up of the brother. Right? To help the weak brother, it was to build him up. If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. But though there be that are called gods, though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom there are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol. And their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Oh. For if any man see thee, which hath knowledge, set at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died. But when you sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. You say, well, they're weak, preacher. They ought to get on board. Hey, man, you've got to teach some people some things. You've got to give some people time to learn some things. Then he said this in verse 13, wherefore if meat make my brother to offend, talking about the brethren, he said, I will eat no flesh while the world stands, lest I make my brother to offend. Paul said, look, he said, all right. He said, if eating this meat that is offered to idols, and I understand there's nothing wrong. If this piece of meat has been offered to this idol, idol's nothing. There's nothing to that idol. Nothing's wrong with it. He said, I could sit down, cut it up, and eat it. But he said, if my brother is weak in conscience and weak in the faith and does not understand that, and it's going to bother him, and it's going to destroy him to do that, he said, then I'll not eat no meat. Can I ask you, if a brother or a sister invited you out for breakfast and you knew they didn't eat pork, would it hurt me to pass up on bacon and sausage that morning? It wouldn't hurt me a bit. I'm just saying, we ought to have grace with each other. Again, I'm not talking about sin. I'm not talking about stuff that's doctrine. I'm talking about sometimes we just need to have grace with one another. If we're not careful, we'll end up doing what Paul said right here. He said, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to them that are weak. We go back to the text verse in the book of Romans, chapter 14, I believe it is. Go back to verse 13. He said, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge us rather that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I understand there's some things you can't change, just like the fellowship hall deal. Church wants to have fellowship hall, we're going to have fellowship hall. But I'm not going to try to trick somebody to go into the fellowship hall. If they don't want to go, they don't have to go. I'm not going to get bent out of shape. As long as they're not bent out of shape, I'm probably not going to get bent out of shape. He said, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it's unclean. In other words, if somebody says, I'm not going to eat because I think it's unclean, you might as well write her off. They're not going to eat it and they believe it's unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. I'm going to close right here. Title of a message I preached years ago, a couple, three or four years ago. Some things we just got to let go. You just got to let it go. Somebody don't think they ought to have a TV in their house and you've got one, and as long as you ain't sinning with that TV, by the way, you can sin with your TV. In more than one way. You can watch wrong stuff. You can watch too much stuff. It's a time robber. I've got a friend of mine who does not have one. And you know what he'll tell you about it? He says, it'll eat my lunch every time. I mean, not that I've never heard him say spiritually that they're wrong, but he says it just eats my lunch. I mean, he said when college sports comes on, I sit there glued to it. Well, if you know that, and you know you can't defeat that thing with it in your house, then you probably shouldn't have it in your house. I mean, if you've got the ability to reach up there and hit the off button and go on and do what you need to do and not watch nothing wicked on it and think. I know not everybody may agree with that, but I'm just. But when we come down to the end of it, Paul said, if eating that meat offered to idols in 1 Corinthians 8 makes my brother offend, he said, I'll not eat it. I think sometimes we just need to learn how to have grace with each other. Learn how to have grace and learn how to have time with each other. You know, some people just have to have time to learn, don't they? And as your pastor and as pastor in this church and being around people, I always wonder why people just can't get it. Just don't get it overnight. They just don't get it. They just don't see it. There's been a lot of things I've had to learn over the years. And it's took a long time to learn some things. I'm just saying we need to learn how to have grace with each other. Let's bow our heads tonight.